I would like to say good afternoon. Good afternoon. If you love God, say amen. First of all, I would like to thank God for allowing me to stand here today to proclaim the gospel of his darling son, Jesus Christ. And I would like to thank the leadership here at Highland Heights to share their pulpit with me and for teaching me in class and out of class the love of God. And I would like to welcome those that are visiting with us. You're considered our VIP, our very important person. What you're experiencing right now is New Testament pattern worship, where there will be singing with no aid of mechanical instruments. As outlined in Ephesians 5:19, we will pray. We will take the Lord's Supper as outlined in his holy scriptures. We will give, and we will learn directly from God's word. If you're here, you can consider this day a blessing. You can consider this day a gift. That's why they call it the present. See, this gives us another opportunity to love, to repent, and most of all, to be obedient to God's will. We're in this time of the year, and I know we just celebrated a few days ago, but we're in this time of the year where folks are looking at Valentine's, and what people fail to realize is that Valentine's is a pagan, man-made holiday.
Amen.
But this time of Valentine's has us looking at a false sense of love. See, this is the time where many people focus on flowers, candy, cards, boxes of chocolates. And what we learn is that this is the worldly version of love.
Amen.
See, the question is, what does this have to do with Jesus? Most importantly, what does this have to do with your soul salvation? That answer is absolutely nothing. See, I thank God for sending his son to die for me, to die for you. But Valentine's isn't what God would have us to focus on. See, what God wants us to focus on is the love that he has for us. The love that he has for you and me. See, according to Merriam-Webster, the dictionary, as y'all may call it, the definition of love is a strong affection for one another arising out of kinship or personal ties. See, to gain an understanding of what love is, we must examine who God is. We must examine who Jesus is. Most importantly, we must understand why Jesus was sent. See, to understand the Son, you must gain an understanding of who the Father is. See, according to Genesis 1:1, God is the creator of all things. In Revelations 1:8, he's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. See, God didn't create his creation to hate on us. He didn't create his creation to turn his back on us. See, according to Genesis 1:27, God created man. And a few scriptures later, God created woman. And we all know that's when all the trouble came into the world.
Watch it, brother.
Even then, even then, God didn't turn his back on his creation. See, ultimately, what is revealed through the scriptures is that God is love. See, according to John 3:16, it reads, "For God so loved the world that he gave his begotten son, his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." See, according to Romans 5:8, it says, "But God commended his love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died." See, in 1 John 4:9, it states that in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because God sent his only begotten son into the world, and then we might live through him. See, God is love. God loves us. Before we could actually love God, God loved us. Before we could love ourselves, God loved us. God loves us by the display of his actions towards us. See, God is our redeemer. We have all made a mess of our lives spiritually because we've sinned. We fell short of the glory of God. God redeems us. He redeems us by sending his son. According to Psalms 34:22, God redeems us. By being God all by himself, only him can redeem us and not ourselves, as many may think. See, there is nothing that we can do to obtain God's love. It is only through his grace and his mercy that we obtain his love. See, what we understand that God's love is unending. It's unmerited. It's unselfish. But most of all, God's love is unconditional. See, God didn't give us chocolate candy, hearts, balloons, cards in place of his love. See, God gives us him. That's why God is our provider, because he provides for the things we stand in need of, both physically and spiritually. See, the love that God displays toward us is unconditional, without conditions. See, according to Matthew 6:25-34, it says God promises to meet our physical needs once we put his righteousness first. So my question to you, ladies and gentlemen, are you putting his righteousness first? Are you seeking him? Or are you carnally minded seeking love? Are you carnally minded looking for gifts that have nothing to do with your soul salvation? Are you looking for chocolates on certain days? Are you looking for gifts on certain days? Are you looking for things that have nothing to do with your soul salvation? See, we understand that God is love. Understanding who the Father is, now we can focus our attention on Jesus. See, Jesus is God in human form. See, Jesus is God. See, God removes the robe of divinity and put on a robe of humanity and walk on this earth for 33 years. See, God doesn't give things in place of his love for us. He gives us him. He gives us him because he has sent his son. See, Jesus, what we need to understand, is one with the Father. According to John 10, verse 30, Jesus is one with the Father. See, Jesus is the Son of the Father, as outlined in Philippians 2, verse 5 through 8. Brother, will you get that for me, please? Philippians 2, 5 through 8. And it reads,
"Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus."
Yes.
"Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross."
See, this is proof that God has given Jesus to us to become a servant and put on human form to be a servant and ultimately be nailed to the cross for us. See, the unity of God continues in John 17, 21 through 23. See, Jesus is born of God, but not by the will of man. See, God used Mary as a conduit to bring Jesus into this world. See, many think that, well, Jesus is not of God, but Jesus is God. See, Jesus is displayed in the Acts, in Acts 20, verse 28, by being God that purchased the church with his own blood. See, so understanding that Jesus is sent from God and God is love, and Jesus purchases the church, purchases his church with his own blood, this is what God has for us. See, God has given us a gift in salvation through Jesus Christ, his son. See, the question is, if we're focusing on gifts that are not from God, that are not of God, you're wasting your time, ladies and gentlemen.
Amen.
Is this the gift that you seek? See, many have showed up here this evening because they're seeking a gift. They're seeking salvation. They're seeking a relationship from God. That's why you're here.
Amen. Good.
So, we understand who God is and we know he's love. We understand that Jesus is God's son and Jesus is God. So why did Jesus come? What did he come here for? See, Jesus came here to fulfill the law according to Matthew 5:17. See, he came and he died to atone for our sins. Not for his sins because he knew no sin. He died to atone for your sins and for my sins. This is the core fundamental of 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4, the gospel of Jesus Christ. His sufferings for our sin was foretold in the book of Isaiah, chapter 53, verses 4 through 6. Prior to Jesus being baptized, John the Baptist says, "Behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away sins of the world." See, understanding what the Old Testament is, in order to have your sins removed and remitted, you had to have an animal sacrifice. Here what we learn is that Jesus is our animal sacrifice for our sin. In love, God offered Jesus a propitiation for our sins. Well, brother, what does propitiation mean? That's a big word. See, propitiation means that Jesus died in our place. He died for me. He died for you. He's the substitute. He's the appeasement to God. He's the satisfaction of God. See, through such suffering, Jesus endured, reconciles us back to God. See, this suffering is overlooked. See, Jesus was hit with a clenched fist. He was spit on. He was whipped with a whip. This suffering is what reconciles us back to God. According to 1 Peter 3:18, see, we need reconciling back to God because we've all sinned. Romans 3:23 states, "For we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God." But in Isaiah 59:1-2, our sins have hid ourselves from God. God is not able to hear our prayers because we have a sin issue. The reason why Jesus was sent. See, Jesus came to provide redemption from sin through his precious blood. See, according to 1 Peter 1:18, it is his blood that cleanses us. It redeems us. It brings us back into the favor of God. See, Jesus' death was part of God's predetermined plan. It wasn't a mishap. This is what his purpose was. This is why he came. This is what he's here for. It is part of his predetermined plan, according to Acts 2:23. See, Jesus is the only one that can save us from our sins. We can't save ourselves. Trying to be self-righteous, we cannot save ourselves from our sins. So God sent Jesus to atone. But see, he didn't only just atone for our sins. He died that we might die to sin. See, this is the reason for his death. He died that we might die. It's clearly stated in Peter, 1 Peter 2:24. He died for our sins that we might die to sin. He died for our sins that we might live for righteousness. See, the purpose of death, us dying to sin, is so we can be righteous. If you don't know what righteous means, well, it's simple. Righteous is right living, living right according to God. See, righteous is living according to God's will and not our own. This means giving up your pleasures, your cake, your candy, your flowers, and living according to God's will. He died that we might die. So as we read such statements, because they're all throughout the New Testament on the reason why Jesus died, according to 2 Timothy 2:11, it starts off by saying, "If we died with him." According to Colossians 2:20, it states that if with Christ you died. According to Colossians 3:3, it states, "For you have died." And according to Galatians 2:20, it states that "I am crucified with Christ." So what happens here is that Jesus not only died, he not only atoned, but he provides the means whereby we can die with him to sin. He is our example on how we must die to sin. This is our example that we must follow in order to receive the gift of God and to receive the gift from God that he promises us. See, we must love one another because God is love. He showed it by sending his son. Jesus is our propitiation for our sins. Are you missing out on the gift of God? Are you missing out on a gift that God has gave you? See, the gift that God has for you will not be in a box of chocolates, will not be in a Christmas gift, will not be in a box that has a pretty bow on it, will not be in a bouquet of roses, will not be in a card. It will not be hidden. See, the gift that God gives us was brutally beaten with a whip. The gift that God has given us carried his cross up a hill called Calvary. The gift that God has given us has been nailed to the cross for you and for me. See, the gift that God has given us was buried in a barred tomb. And the gift that God has given us rose the third day with all power in his hand. That's the gift that God has for you and that God has for me. My question is that a gift that you want? Is that a gift that you are seeking? Is that a gift that you are willing to give up all your worldly and fleshly desires in order to obtain? That is the gift of God. So if some of you are still asking yourself, what is love? See, love is God sending his son.
Amen.
Love is Jesus dying on the cross. Love is the shedded blood from Jesus that purchases his church.
Amen.
See, the love is God providing us a way to be redeemed back to him. That is what love is. As many spend countless hours and countless dollars and countless time trying to find love and use love and create love, God has already given it to us.
Amen.
See, as opposed to worrying about how can I show somebody I love them or how can I be loved or God has already given it to you. See, many here today have been wondering, what is love? What is the real picture and what is the real action of love? God has displayed that to us and for us already.
Amen.
This is the love, the caring commitment by action that God shows towards us. See, according to John 14:6, brother, please get that for me. John 14:6.
Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me.
No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So you can't get to God, which is love, if you don't go through Jesus.
Amen.
See, that's why we're here today, is so that we can get to the Father by going through Jesus, by being obedient to Jesus' and God's will.
Yes,
if we're not being obedient to his will, we won't get to the Father. And just in case you didn't know, the Father's in heaven. So if your New Year's resolution was to get to heaven or work on getting closer to heaven, and you're not seeing Jesus and you're not going through Jesus and you're not being obedient to Jesus' will, then you're not going to make it there.
Amen.
As we sit here and wonder, how can we become better Christians? How can we become more spiritual? How can we do what God say do? It's be obedient to his word. Be obedient to his will. Be obedient to his way. See, the way is not just a direction. See, many of us view the way as a direction. We might see signs on the street, go this way, go that way. See, the way is a life. is a lifestyle. The way is following Jesus. There's no sign on Jesus' back that says, follow me. But he does say, you must hate your mother, you must hate your brother, and you must hate your father, and come after me. That is the way in order to get to the Father. Being obedient to God's word means you accept his gift. Amen. His gift is his darling son, Jesus Christ. Right. His gift is the gift that was beaten and bruised and that was hit and that was struck and that was nailed to the cross for you and me. See, if you refuse God's gift, that means you deny Jesus. According to Matthew 10:32-33, it says, Jesus says, if you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father, which is in heaven. See, in order to accept God's gift for you, for your life, you must be obedient to his word. In order to become obedient to his word, you must first hear the gospel story. That's the story that over 2,000 years ago, God sent his son to this earth to walk amongst this earth with us humans as a servant. He was brutally beaten. He was whipped. He was hit. He was nailed to a cross for you and for me. He died on that cross, hanging for 6 long hours for you and for me. And when he was taken down from that cross, he was placed in a barred tomb where he didn't stay, where he rose on the third day with all power in his hand. That, my friends, is the gospel story of Jesus Christ. Amen. You must hear that story. You must then believe that story with all your heart. And believing that story with all your heart would lead you to an action of repentance. Repentance of changing the way you have been living. We will change you from worrying about your own will and focusing on God's will, according to Luke 13:3. After you have made that change, you have made that repentance, you will then make a confession. Just like the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8, when the chariot stopped still, and he said to Philip, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's the confession that you must make. You can make it now, or you can make it in the last day, but you will make that confession. And after making that confession, you will then be water baptized for the remission of your sins. You will be immediately water baptized for the remission of your sins. No, we will not wait to the first Sunday of the month. No, we're not going to wait until we have a certain amount of people. We're going to baptize you immediately. Right now, the water's warm. We got clothes ready for you if you choose to accept God's gift for your life. And after you become baptized for the remission of your sins, you must then, according to Revelation 2:10, live faithful unto death. See, if you want to accept this gift, that means there's somebody in this audience that's seeking a better relationship. They're seeking your relationship with Jesus because they haven't been obedient. There's a Christian here that might stand in need of prayer. If you find yourself subject to the Lord's invitation, please stand and come forward as together we sing Song of Encouragement.